Let us begin Parshas Miketz, as well as this is Shabbos Chanukah. We're in the week of Chanukah. We're entering Shabbos Chanukah. Tonight's Shir is Le'ilei Nishmasa, Pesafega Basar Basher, who is the grandmother of my wife, the mother of my mother-in-law, who's on tonight. Her yahrzeit was a couple of days ago, but tonight we will say the shir in her memory, that her neshama should have a continued aliyah. So the Gemara Meseches Shabbos Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara that discusses the nes of Chanukah, the Gemara comes and asks, "My Chanukah, what is Chanukah?" In other words, through which miracle did the Chachamim establish the holiday of Chanukah? The Tanur Rabbanon, the rabbis taught in a brisa, B'chofei b'kislev yumei de Chanukah. On the 25th of Kislev, the days of Chanukah begin. Temanya inon, they are 8 days in total. D'lo lispid b'hon, d'lo lasana b'hon. There are no fasting, nor does one eulogize Shebenichnasu Yavanim LaHechal, for when the Greeks, they entered the Hechal, Timu Kol Hashmanim Shebahechal. They contaminated all the flasks of oil that were in the Hechal, in the sanctuary, Kishagavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai V'Nitzchum, and when the Chashmonaic dynasty, they came and they were victorious in battle, Bodku, the Chashmonaim, searched, and found only one flask of oil that was lying with the seal of the Kohen Gadol still intact. And it contained only enough oil to kindle the menorah for one day. A miracle had happened with this oil. And ultimately, this oil that was only supposed to last one day lasted 8 days. L'shona cheres, the following year, kivoyim v'asolim yom tovim, the chachomim, they saw this great miracle, and ultimately they established this as a day of yom tov. These 8 days will be a yom tovim, b'halel v'hodah, filled with halel, and Hodah, and Thanksgiving. The Pnei Yoshua and many Acharonim come and ask a very important question. And that is that there's a concept called Tuma Hutra Letzibur. The reality is that the Chashmonoim, when they came into the sanctuary and they found the oil that was contaminated, they didn't have to use oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol that was Tahar. They were able, lahalacha, by law, to use the oil that was impure. And if that's the case, why was it necessary to use the pure, which ultimately led to oil that was supposed to last one day, lasting 8 days? It's not necessary. The whole miracle of Chanukah, the oil lasting more days than what was Bederech HaTeva intended, it wasn't necessary, because Klal Yisrael could have come and used contaminated oil. And obviously we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change Teva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to run in a certain way. Very, very infrequently does HaKadosh Baruch Hu change nature and go l'mayla min ha-teva, go above the laws of nature. Yes, we find certain instances, for example, Kriyas Yamsuf, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and split the sea. That was something that in Shemayim there was a back and forth. The Chazal tells us that it wasn't so clear cut, that the malachim, that the ocean was going to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to split the sea. But obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to override Teva. but very infrequently, and therefore it wasn't necessary in this type of situation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to change Teva, especially since the oil that was contaminated was permissible lahalacha to use to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, why only use one flask of oil? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this special miracle that oil, which was only supposed to last one day, lasts 8 days? It wasn't necessary. And that's our first question. Why was it that Klal Yisrael took that one flask of oil when they could have taken all of the others that each day they could have had Bederech HaTeva, naturally, another flask of oil for the first day, and then for the second day, and for every day that they come and light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? That's our first question. We obviously know that in this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us that Paro, he couldn't sleep. He was bothered by his dreams. As the psukim tell us, that he was agitated. He was disturbed. Uparo cholem, Paro was dreaming. And he was standing over the river. And out of the river emerged 7 cows that looked beautiful and robust. And they were grazing. And then 7 other cows came out from the river that were gaunt, that were weak. And they stood next to those cows in the bank of the river. And then the cows that looked emaciated, they ate the 7 cows that looked robust. And then the Torah tells us that Paro awoke, Vayikatz Paro. And then he fell asleep and dreamt a second time. And this time it was 7 ears of grain were sprouting on a single stalk. And they were healthy. And then 7 ears that were thin were growing after them. And then the thin ones came and they swallowed up the healthy looking ones. And again, Paro had woken. Vayikatz Paro vihine chalom. And now the psukim tell us, vayhi baboker vatipoeim rucho, that Paro was agitated. And he called all of his chartumei Mitzrayim, all of the magicians that were supposed to come and interpret these dreams. But ve'ein poser oson leParo. Paro, they didn't have a response. They didn't know how to interpret them. And then suddenly the Sar HaMashkim comes before Paro and he says, Chatoi ani maskir hayom. I was such a terrible person. You were upset with me and you threw me into prison. And I had a dream. And there was this person that was able to interpret the dreams. So Paro was all excited. Vayishlach Paro, Paro had sent, and he called for Yosef. They rushed him out. They shaved him. They gave him new sets of clothing. Vayavo el Paro, and he had come to Paro. And then Paro began to tell him over all that what had happened, all that he had seen. And ultimately, Yosef was able to interpret the way he assumed that the dreams had meant. What he had thought Paro was dreaming. Paro heard what Yosef had said. Yosef interpreted the dreams that they're referring to lean years and good years. And there was going to be good years followed by lean years. And then Yosef had given a recommendation to Paro as to what he should do to ensure that the people will still be able to live and prosper. and overcome those lean years. And when Paro hears everything that Yosef is talking about, the Torah tells us, Vayitav hadavar be'enei Paro, that this matter appeared good in the eyes of Paro, ube'enei kol avadav, and in the eyes of his servant. Paro was satisfied. It appeared good. But not only did it appear good and he just left, the Torah tells us, Vayasar Paro es ta'abasov, that he took off his ring and he gave it to Yosef. And he dressed Yosef in big deshesh and big gadim that were fitting for a king. And he also gave him a horse. And ultimately he made him the viceroy of Egypt. He was second in command. And Paro called him a new name. And he gave him a wife. And now he was in charge. The obvious question is, Paro wasn't a stupid man. Why would Paro do all of this for Yosef? He didn't know if he was right or not. How did he know that what Yosef had said indeed was accurate? How did he know that indeed it was going to come to fruition? In theory, it would have taken 14 years to find out whether what Yosef had said indeed was true or not. Was Paro so... Did he just work based on impulse? Was he not a thought-out person? Was he going to just give over the keys to the kingdom, to the palace, after meeting this guy for 5.5 minutes? Oh, it sounds good. Here are the keys to the treasure. Take them, Yosef, and take whatever you want. It doesn't make any sense. So the truth is that this question is asked by the Paneach Raza. And he comes and he explains that the reason why Paro had known that Yosef was speaking words of truth, because when Paro had dreamt his dreams, his limbs, his evarim, the limbs of his body had become disjointed. They broke. His fingers, his legs. And when the Chartumim had tried to come and give their understanding of his dreams, tried to interpret the dreams, his limbs didn't return back to their place. But when Yosef had come and interpreted the dreams, his limbs went back to the way that they were before he had dreamt those dreams. And therefore he had known that this, the way that Yosef was interpreting the dreams, was indeed accurate. So I want to ask a question. It's a beautiful pshat. It's fascinating. We learned something new right now. But what's the connection? What's the symbolism? Why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaking? What's the idea of Paro's limbs breaking when he was dreaming, didn't feel confident, and only coming back when Yosef's dreams, or Yosef's interpretations of the dreams, were ultimately given? What's this idea of Evarim still being broken, his limbs being broken, when he heard the Chartumim, the magicians, coming and offering their insight and their interpretation versus Yosef, and now Yosef, and now his limbs had come back to their original place? I want to try to give insight into that idea of the Paneach Raza. And our third and final question is the Torah begins this week's parsha, Vayihi Miketz Shnosayim Yomim. And it happened at the end of 2 years. So, what are the 2 years? What are we referring to? So, Chazal teach us that we're referring to none other at the end of last week's parsha, when the Sar HaMashkim was ultimately released from prison. Yosef HaTzadik had turned to the Sar HaMashkim and he had asked the Sar HaMashkim to remember Yosef. And the Torah tells us, "V'lo zochar sar hamashkim es Yosef," that the sar hamashkim did not remember Yosef, "vayishkocheyu," but he forgot him. In other words, the sar hamashkim didn't remember Yosef to speak to the person who was in charge of exonerating or letting prisoners go. He didn't tell Paro about Yosef. He forgot about him. And Rashi tells us, Mipnei shetola bo Yosef lizachro, because Yosef relied upon the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, huskak lios asur shteinosh on him. It was necessary that he become or he remain imprisoned for an additional 2 years. So the Chazon Ish asks a very simple yet powerful question. What was the taina, the complaint, on Yosef HaTzadik? Why was he punished an additional 2 years? We find in every generation that the Gedolei Yisrael, they put in their hishtadlus, their efforts, b'derchei hateva, through natural means, in order to accomplish that which they intended to accomplish. The Gemara tells us many instances where the Tanoim or Amoraim would go and they'd speak to the kings of certain governments in order to nullify a gezerah, a decree on Klal Yisrael. We even find that Yosef HaTzadik's own father had put in the necessary efforts, b'derech hateva, to defeat his brother Esav HaRasha. Militarily, he divided the camp into two, because that's what you need to do, b'derech hateva. So why was Yosef HaTzadik punished for coming and asking the Sar HaMashkim to remember him? So the Chazon Ish answers that there's no question about it. The person is allowed and is supposed to put in hishtadlus, effort. We live in this world. And a person can't rely upon a miracle. Ein somchin al hanes. However, says the Chazon Ish, lo hayo lo levakesh zos, a proper hishtadlus, a proper effort, is not to ask from people she'ein b'tivam, that naturally it's not their position to help another prisoner. And therefore, when Yosef had come and asked from the Sar HaMashkim that he should remember Yosef and speak to Paro, this wasn't hishtadlus. This wasn't a normal effort. Rather, says the Chazon Ish, this was an action that was out of despair. This had nothing to do with hishtadlus, with effort, but rather it showed that he was giving up hope. He was willing to latch on to anything, something. He was a desperate man. Willing to do anything, even if it doesn't make sense, b'derech hateva. No different than Yosef asking the janitor who was cleaning the toilets in the prison, do you mind going to Paro? Who would do such a thing? Crazy thing to think that the janitor is going to help Yosef stand before Paro. That was the Sar Hamashkim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mind when people come. But Derech HaTeva, naturally, to put in hishtadlus. But to show yiush, despair, that's something that ultimately, that wasn't hishtadlus. And that is exactly why he was punished. Hishtadlus is one thing. Yiush, despair, is something else. A Yid, a Jew, doesn't despair. To put in hishtadlus, to put in effort? Absolutely. Yaakov Avinu had to put in his effort, hishtadlus. The great Tanoim and Amoraim go and speak to the kings, hoping that the decree, the Gzerah, would be nullified. But they're not going to speak to the janitors. The Evarim of a person represent Maisa. It represents action. We know that the Evarim, there are 248 Evarim that every person possesses. And those represent the 248 mitzvos asay that a person is obligated to do. The limbs of a person enable a person to go out, to do, to accomplish, to run, to walk, to write, to speak. Those are the Evarim, those are the limbs of a person. When Yosef HaTzadik came and interpreted the dreams of Paro. Paro, I believe, he didn't know whether they were going to be accurate or not. But what Yosef gave to Paro was the ability to no longer feel desperate. He gave him hope. It sounded right. It made sense to him. Yiush, nobody wants to feel despair. People are always looking for solutions. Paro didn't know whether it was going to come to fruition or not. But for Paro, he wasn't interested in that. He just wanted to know that there was a solution in sight. The Evarim that came back to place represented a plan that Paro could feel secure about. It allowed him to put in hishtadlus, to put in a meaningful hishtadlus, and no longer feel a sense of yish, of despair. No longer would he feel despondent. All people want is hope. They want to feel as if there's a solution to a problem. People don't want to feel a sense of yish. Yosef gave Paro hope. and the Evarim coming back together, I believe, wasn't a miracle in as much as it resounded to Yosef. It was to Paro. This makes sense. I finally feel like my Evarim are functioning again. I can finally walk. I can finally get up. I can finally move. Was it literal? Or was it just something that was bogging Paro down? He couldn't use his limbs. And now when Yosef came and interpreted those dreams, even though it was daunting and overwhelming, but his Evarim began to work again. Because he was given a solution to a problem. No one wants to feel despair. People want to know that there's a solution to a problem. And even if it's daunting and overwhelming, but there's a solution. See, but Klal Yisrael is different. For Klal Yisrael, our Hishtadlus is different. We don't feel despair, not because we have solutions, but because we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not interested in solutions. For us, a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enough of a Hishtadlus, is enough of an effort. That's the ultimate level of Hishtadlus. There's one level of Hishtadlus, which is going before a king, as Yosef should have done. But the highest form of Hishtadlus is relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us. He will take us out of our misery. We don't need a plan other than relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haba litoher mitayer eschem. If a person would simply come to purify himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and purify him. So yes, b'derech hateva, naturally speaking, Klal Yisrael could have used contaminated oil. And that would have been okay. And that would have solved the problem. But Klal Yisrael, we could solve our problems by relying upon the supernatural. All we need to do is show that we're putting in an effort. We're purifying ourselves. We're using pure wine or pure oil. And b'derech hateva, it's not changing nature. It's b'derech hateva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and solve the problem. That's not deviating from nature. That is nature. That's our nature. Our nature is different than all the other natures of the world. We have a different standard, a different set of rules. All we need to do is show that we are committed to our belief in Hashem, in trying to be double connecting to Hashem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, step back. Hisyatzvu uru'u es Yeshua's Hashem. Stand pat and watch the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all we need to do. The Torah tells us that when Yosef was sold into slavery, fascinating. Yosef went, thrown into a pit, Torah tells us, in the Orchos Yishmaelim ba Megillah, that a caravan of Yishmaelim, they were coming from Gilad, and their camels were carrying spices and balsam and lotus. And Rashi comes and asks, why is the Torah telling us this? Lama pirseim hakosu besmasum. Why is it necessary to know what they were carrying? Do we really care? Does it really impact us? Lohodia maton scharen shel tzaddikim. To tell us the reward of the righteous. She'ein darkon shel arvoyim loses elenefed v'idrin shereichon ra. That typically, the caravans, the Arabs, that when they were traveling, they were carrying things that smelled terrible. But by a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that they were carrying beautifully scented spices. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that that was a neshika for Mashiach, and that was a kiss to remind Yosef HaTzadik that there's no such thing as Derech HaTeva. There's no such thing as natural when it comes to a Yid, to a Jew who has committed himself to connecting to the Almighty. When a Jew is determined to take the oil that is tahor, habali tahor, if you come and use tahor oil, mitarino, so I will ensure that the rest of your oil will be pure as well. Paro needed a plan, rightfully so. He didn't want to fail, despair, despondent. He wanted to know that there was a course of action. And ultimately, he felt relieved. He felt like he can move on again. His limbs worked. He could run, and he was no longer depressed. Yosef gave him a plan. Klal Yisrael, we don't necessarily need a plan or a solution, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the solution to our problems. That's the ultimate, the highest level. Yes, a basic level is to put in our efforts in this world, not to go before a Sar HaMashkin, but to speak to people that are actually privy to helping or to involve to what you need. But the highest level, a madrega mal yusa, is to recognize that we don't need to go to a king when we have melech malche hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're David to Hashem. It's not changing teva. One flask of oil we should have known would last us as many days as we need, because habali toyer, mitaren eschem.